Thank you for downloading or streaming this message from Emmanuel Church. We are one church with multiple locations, and we believe God wants to bless you right where you are. In a few moments, you're going to hear some practical teaching from God's Word that I believe will be inspiring and relevant to your life. First, though, if you haven't yet experienced Emmanuel Live, we encourage you to go to our website, eclife.org, to check out our service times and locations so that you can experience Emmanuel in person or through our online campus. If this message blesses you and you'd like to support the ministry financially, again, you can go to eclife.org and click on the Giving tab and choose Online Campus as your campus. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message will be an encouragement to you on your spiritual journey.
Well, hello, Emmanuel Church. How are you today? It is so good to be here with you. Happy New Year. Happy 2023. What a great time of the year. Hey, some of you might be wondering right now, why is the service online only this weekend at Emmanuel Church? And I just wanted to take a moment to explain that. Some of you may not know this, but we have over 70 staff members that work at Emmanuel and almost 2,000 impact team members that serve each and every week, 52 weeks a year, equipping, giving, serving, helping, building, and making our church what it is so that we can see people come to Christ and grow in Christ. And our leadership team thought, man, wouldn't it be a great idea just to kind of give our staff and the impact team a weekend off so that they can rest and recoup and just be at home with their families. And so that was kind of the idea, just to kind of honor them and say thank you to them. In fact, right now, I'd love to say thank you to all of our incredible staff and our fantastic impact team. Thank you for all that you do and to make our church what it is so that we can make an impact in our community and in our world. And so we hope this weekend you're resting and you're recovering and that you feel honored. And so here we are today, first day of the year, 2023. I love this time of the year for a couple of reasons. Two big reasons why I love this time of the year. The first one is it's a great time to do some reflection, to look back and do some evaluation of the previous year. It's kind of over, it's done, 2022 is in the book. Some of you are like, praise God. And it's a great time to look back and say, hey, what worked in 2022? What didn't work in 2022? What mistakes did I make? What victories did I have? What did God do in my life? What prayers were answered? And it's just a fantastic time just to do some evaluation and reflection with a journal and just to look back at the previous year. I love it for another reason. I love it because it's a great time to look forward into 2023. It's a great time to start over with a clean slate and say, you know what, the whole year's in front of me. I get to try some new things. I get to do some different things. I get to try to see how can I improve my life and how can I do what worked in 2022? How can I do more of that in 2023? What do I need to stop doing that didn't work in 2022? What do I need to do less of? What do I need to do more of? It's just a great time to look back and then also to look forward in our life. And some people around this time of the year choose to set resolutions. Maybe you've done that so far, or maybe you call them goals, whatever you want to call them. You know, maybe it's losing weight or repairing a relationship or getting your finances in order or spending more time with a son or a daughter or reconciling with someone. Those are all fantastic things, great things to think about as we're moving into a new year. Some people take a different approach. Some people take more of a theme approach for the new year. You've probably heard about this. They pick like a word for the year or something like that. And they basically say, you know, this year I'm going to focus on faith, or this year I'm going to focus on perseverance, or this year I'm going to focus on fun. I just want to have more fun in my life, or health. I want to improve my health. So that's going to be the theme of my year. We have one staff member here at church that has chosen a word for the past 5 years. They've done this 5 years in a row just to have a theme for the year, and it's worked really well for her. And what if you took that approach and you chose one word, but that one word that you chose was God? What if your one word this year was simply God? What if you decided in 2023 that God was going to be the focus of your life? You know, some of you have probably in the past been very close to God, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe 6 months ago, where you felt him, you sensed him, you were walking with him, you were praying a ton, you were hearing his voice, you sensed his grace, his comfort, his protection in your life, and then you kind of lost that, or it faded away. What if you could get back to that place? There have been times in my life, certainly, where I have felt so close to God, just felt like his presence in my life. And then there have been times where it was like, wow, I just seem so distant. What if in 2023 we can get back to that spot? And maybe you've never been close to God before. You've never kind of sensed what I've just described a few moments ago, you know, his presence and his voice in your life and, you know, answered prayers and his comfort. But you've thought about what that might be like. What would it be like to be really close to God? And you've kind of wanted to try that before. What if 2023 you just attempted that? You say, you know what? This year I am going to live closer to God than I ever have lived before. I'm just going to try to get tight with him. Listen to Psalm 73, verse 25. I love what the psalmist writes here. He says, but as for me, people can do whatever else they want to do. And in the psalm, he's kind of talking about how lots of different people chase after lots of different things. He says, but as for me, here's what's good for me, how good it is to be near God. You see, I believe the Bible teaches that the best life, the greatest life available on earth is a life lived near God, close to God. What if instead of pursuing, you know, weight loss goal or a health and fitness goal or a financial goal or a relationship goal, what if, not that those are bad things, those are great things, what if you simply decided that you are going to pursue a closer relationship with God? Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 42. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. It's as if he's seen this with his own eyes, a deer, you know, thirsty in the woods, looking for a stream of water. And then the deer finds the stream and begins to lap up the water, and in doing so, nourishes his entire body. Is that the way it is supposed to be with God and us? The psalmist says yes. He says, as the deer does that, so I do that. I thirst for God, the living God. And then he asks this question, when can I come and stand before him? You know, we ask that question a lot. I know I do. When are we going to go on vacation? And when are we going to do this? Or when are we going to get a new pair of shoes? You ask it, you know, when am I going to graduate? You know, when am I going to get that job that I love? When am I going to get married, right? When are we going to have a kid? You know, when are we going to have another kid? We ask that question, when, a lot. And I believe that question, whenever we ask it to ourselves, we're really asking or revealing what our priorities are. What the thing that we want, the goal, our heart's desire. When, the psalmist says, when can I come and stand before God? It's as if the psalmist is saying, the only thing I really need is God. When can I stand before God? When can I have more of God? When can I lap him in as a deer laps water into its mouth and satisfies its thirst? Have you ever noticed that the happiest people in this world seem to be those who are closest to God? I'm an observer of people. I like to watch people and, you know, I just pay attention. You know, people who've got lots of stuff or lots of money, or they're married, they're not married, or they have a great job or they don't have a great job. I like to watch and see, you know, is that person happy? Is this person happy? Are they fulfilled? Are they satisfied? Here's what I've observed. It's the people that are closest to God that seem to be the most content, the most fulfilled, the most satisfied, the happiest people. It's not necessarily the people that have everything or lots of money or a big giant family or whatever. It's not necessarily them. What if the secret to living was being close to God? That seems to be what Jesus taught. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Now, we've talked about that if you've been coming to Emmanuel for a while. We've talked about what the kingdom of God is. I learned this from Dallas Willard in his books, The Divine Conspiracy, Renovation of the Heart. Dallas teaches that the kingdom of God is the space where God is. It's the space where God is in charge. It's his rule. It's his reign. It's where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, I want you to seek that place where God dwells, where God is acting, where God lives. I want you to, in essence, be close to God. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God, to live with him, walk with him, and talk with him, and dwell with him. Jesus says, above all your other seeking, he doesn't say not to seek other things. He just says, before you seek anything else, you know, having that baby or graduating from high school or getting a job out of college and all those things we should seek after. But before you seek all that stuff, I want you to live closely with God. And then here's the promise that Jesus gives. As you live righteously, you do the right thing. All that simply means is to follow God and do what he says. Once you do that, he will give you everything that you need. Not everything you want necessarily, but everything that he knows that you need. It's as if Jesus is saying, if you will just live close to me, like here's the secret to life. Dwell with me, live in my kingdom, be close to me, and then here's what I'll do. I will fill in all the gaps, all the things that you need in this life. You won't even really have to seek after them or search for them. I'll just add it to your life. All these things will be added unto you, another version says. So I'm going to pretend for a second here that y'all are convinced right now. You're like, oh, you know, that's right, Pastor Danny. The secret to living is to be close to God. As for me, 2023, as for me, it's going to be good to be near God. I would like to do that. Well, how would you do that? How would I do that? How would we live closer to God than we ever have before? I'm going to give you 6 ways to do that. And I hope you'll take notes, whether you're using the app or have a pen, write these down. These are the practical steps of how to walk closely with God. Number one, you have to make more time to listen. You have to make more time to listen to God. God is a communicative God. He wants to talk to you. And by the way, if you had a person that you wanted to get to know closer and be closer to, maybe it's a person that you're romantically interested in, maybe it's a friend that you'd like to get to know, maybe it's someone at work, a coworker, a classmate, somebody, a teammate. How would you get to know them better? Wouldn't you take time to listen to them? Listen to their story. Listen to what they have to say. What are they like? What are they? What's their background? What do they dislike? We don't have an epidemic today of listening. Even though we have 2 ears and 1 mouth, we love to talk. We don't love to listen. You know, Jesus made a practice of listening to his Father. He had this way of waking up every day and essentially receiving words from his Father and then going and acting them out. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, this was the practice that Jesus had. He said, very early in the morning, Mark writes, very early in the morning, while it was still dark outside, Jesus got up and left his house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, all of this took place after a full day of ministry. Jesus was healing and teaching. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He was just on the go, go, go. Goes to sleep. First thing he does is wake up, and he leaves the house, and he finds a quiet place to listen to his Father's voice, to get his instructions for the day. He made time to listen. If you want to walk closer to God than you ever have in 2023, you've got to carve out time to hear what God has to say. He wants to speak to you. In fact, he's given us a book to do that, the Bible. Every single year, I read through this Bible. In fact, this is the first day of the year. We're starting 2023. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back on the YouVersion Bible app and start reading the Bible once again. Maybe you'll join me. If you go to the YouVersion Bible app and you download the one-year Bible reading plan, I'm going to do it again. I just finished it in 2022. I'm going to start in 2023 again. We can do it together. Now, here's why I do that. I do that because every single day I want to hear what God has to say to me. He wants to speak to me, and he wants to do it primarily. He does it a lot of ways, but he wants to do it primarily through his word. Jesus said one time, man shall not live by bread alone. Like we stay alive by food, but that's not the only way we stay alive. We stay alive physically by eating food, but we stay alive spiritually by hearing what God has to say. Listen, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This book is a substance. It is a spiritual substance that keeps your soul connected to God. When you're in the Word of God, you are never far from the voice of God. So, first way I want to encourage you to stay close to God or closer than you've ever been is to carve out time to listen to God. Number two, talk to God more. You want to be close to God, closer to God than you ever have been in 2023. You've got to talk to Him more. You've got to speak to Him. Like, not only does He want to speak to you, He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what your thoughts are about life, about what's going on in your life. He wants to hear about the pain. He wants to hear about the joy. He wants to hear about the frustrations. He wants to hear about what makes you happy and thrills your heart. God delights to hear from you. Did you know that you have an inner conversation going on? Have you noticed this in your own mind, that you're constantly talking? I recognized this years ago. It's like, yeah, that's true. You know, I'm always talking. You're always talking. And you're not crazy. It's just the way we're wired. We're talking to ourselves all the time. Whether you're at the grocery store and what do you need to pick up, you're talking to yourself. Oh, I need to go do this, remember that, and you're talking to yourself. Whether you're looking for a parking spot or whether you're in a crowd and you're talking to yourself about, you know, how you feel about the crowd and what do people think about me or she doesn't like me, and we're always talking to ourselves. Did you know that you can turn that inner dialogue into a conversation and a dialogue with God? You can. It's called developing a conversational relationship with God. And it's the only way we can actually obey what Paul told us to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, never stop praying. Jesus said there should be time in your life where you go into the closet, specific prayer times where we're talking to God. Paul says, yes, do that, but also never stop. Be constantly praying. Another version says, never cease to pray, or pray without ceasing. Have a conversational relationship with God going throughout the entire day. And here's how you do that. You turn your inner dialogue that you have with yourselves, because you're already talking, you turn that into a conversation with God. Many people have done this in the past. I'll name a few of them. Frank Laubach, he lived in the early 1930s. He made his whole life an experiment with this, talking to God. Before him, in the 1600s, a guy named Brother Lawrence did it. Dallas Willard did it. Billy Graham did it. Thomas Merton did it. There are many, many people who've said, you know what? I can talk to God all day long. And they were successful. And the benefits that they experienced were amazing. Joy and peace and sensing God's presence. In fact, Brother Lawrence and Frank Laubach, somebody took both of their works and put them together into one book. This book, called Practicing His Presence, is probably one of the most important books in my life, other than the Bible and maybe Mere Christianity and Divine Conspiracy. But I pick up this book and I reread it and reread it. Sometimes I'll carry it in my backpack for a couple months and just go back to its pages. Brother Lawrence made his life an experiment. He said, you know, what if I could talk to God all day long? What would be the results? And he wrote about it in his journal and all that came with this conversation. In the book, he says this: I have found that we can establish ourselves in a sense of the presence of God by continually talking to Him. And what these gentlemen describe in their books is that they sense the physical presence of God, which should not surprise us because the Bible teaches that His Spirit lives within us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should be sensing His presence all the time. But for many of us, we don't talk to Him. We may say a few prayers in the morning, and then we go on with our day, and before we know it, we act as if God doesn't exist. We haven't talked to Him. We kind of leave Him behind. If you want to walk closer to God in 2023 than you ever have before, you have to turn your inner dialogue into a conversation with God. You've got to make time to listen to Him. Let's talk about number three. You have to make it your aim to please God. You have to make it the target of your life to bring a smile to His face. I was thinking about this. It works this way in human relationships. You know, those of you who are parents of children, you know, when you have a son or a daughter that just really desires to please you, and usually it's the firstborn, usually the one who does that, and they just really just want to, they live their life, whether it's with school or decisions or choices they make, they do what they do because they want to please you. Doesn't that kind of make your heart tender? It's like, oh, man, I love this kid because they're really trying to please me. Or maybe for some of you, you run a business and you have a couple of employees, maybe just one, that really just tries to do the job to make you happy and to do it exactly how you like it. And aren't you kind of drawn to that employee as opposed to some of the others that kind of want to do their own thing? And it works this way as a coach. You know, sometimes, you know, the coaches are drawn to those players that they just want to please their coach. They just want to do it the way the coach wants to do things, that wants things done on the court or on the field. If it works with us, why would it work any differently with God? Wouldn't he be drawn to a person that has just decided to say, God, you know what, my life, I just want my life to please you. I want to bring a smile to your face. Wouldn't it make sense for God to be drawn to that man, to that woman, to that teenager, that middle school student, that high school student? It's absolutely the way it works. And that's why Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Here's what I want you to do with your life. I just want you to wake up in the morning and carefully, cautiously, just go through your day, all the things you have to do, whether you're a student or you're a student athlete or you're a worker or a boss or a stay-at-home parent or whatever it is you have to do, and carefully determine how would I do those things in a way that would please God. Some of you are in a marriage. Some of you are running a business. Like, how would I do this business or this marriage or this parenting in a way that pleases my Heavenly Father? When we live that way, it's like God is drawn to that person. And that makes sense in our life. It's the way we function. Why would it be any different with him? See, the problem with this one in particular, this challenge, is because when we think about this or try to make this decision or move in this direction, we run into an issue, and that issue is our will. I try to live my life to please God. Well, I would have to surrender my will in order to do that. And I don't want to surrender my will. I want to do things my way. We've all heard of, you know, probably the book, The Strong-Willed Child. What about the book, The Strong-Willed Adult? Where's that one? Because that's most of us. We want to do things our way. In fact, the Bible talks about this, and specifically Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the reality of what's supposed to be happening in our lives as adults. It says that Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves, will no longer be dominated by, I'm going to do it my way, my will. Instead, Paul says, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Instead of living for our will, we're supposed to be looking at our life and saying, Jesus, I want to do this your way. I want your will to be done in this parenting situation or this marriage situation or whatever situation that you're in, this financial situation. I struggle with this because I'm a strong-willed person. Several years ago when my son Andrew was playing high school basketball, I had, you know, visions in my mind of the way things were supposed to go and how he was supposed to play on the court. And it was very clear in my mind, and it was supposed to be like this, and he was supposed to do this, and I trained him to do this, and he got coached to do this, and it wasn't happening. So when we would go to the games, you know, I would be so frustrated. I would be so upset. I'd be so angry, and I would start to yell things at him as he's playing, you know, and I would start to yell at the referee, and I'd start to yell at the whatever, because I was so angry because what I wanted to happen on the court wasn't happening. It got so bad one time. I was yelling at Andrew on the court. My wife was standing next to me. She looked at me, and she left. She walked away to the other side of the gymnasium just to get away from me because she was so disgusted at the things that I was saying to my son. See, I had a problem with my will. It wasn't surrendered. I wanted what I wanted. I wasn't asking, Lord, as I go into this basketball game, I want to please you and I want to bring a smile to your face. No, it's like, I want my son to succeed and his team to win, and here's how they're gonna do it. I have a problem with my will. How about you? See, if you want to walk close to God, if I want to walk close to God, we've got to surrender our will. And when we do that, now we begin to do things that God says to do, and we begin to please him when we want to please him. And then God sees a man or a woman like that, and he's drawn to them. In fact, Jesus actually explains this dynamic in John chapter 14. Watch this. He says, all who love me, all who are like dedicated to me, will do what I say. Why? Because they've surrendered their will. So now the result is obedience. Obedience to what God wants, not what I want, not what you want. Therefore, he says, my Father will love them, not in a general sense that he loves all humans, but in a specific sense that he sees someone who's pleasing him. He says, my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. Like Jesus just flat out says it. You want to know how to walk closer to God? Just do what he says. And how would you live a life of doing what God says and obeying him? By surrendering your will. To say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. If you want to walk closer to God, you got to live your life to please him. You got to make it your aim to please him. You got to talk to him more. You've got to carve out more time to listen to him. Let's talk about this fourth one, number four. You've got to find God everywhere, which means you need to look for him everywhere, because he is everywhere. God is omnipresent. And even when you can't see his presence, you can see the fingerprints. You can see the results of his presence. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And night after night, they reveal knowledge. You know what he's saying right there? You know what he's saying. He's saying, all you have to do is look up in a night sky at all the stars and look at the moon and look at the shooting stars and all those things. And what you see is the glory of God. You see the evidence of a powerful, majestic, all-wise, creative, expansive, brilliant God. You don't have to look very far to see the evidence of God. You want to walk closer with God, all you have to do is start to pay attention and look around. Be in the moment and look at a baby and see the evidence of God. Look at a pregnant woman and see the evidence of God. Feel a warm breeze on a sunny summer day. Smell the flowers and you sense and see the wonder of God. I mean, think about it. You watch an incredible movie. I don't know what your favorite movie is, and that movie is created by the thoughts of a man or a woman or a team of people, and who were made by God, and they create this movie, and it's, you can see the fingerprints of God everywhere if you look for him. I have two dogs, and one is a small mini schnauzer, his name is Buddy, and another one is a larger dog, a golden doodle, and his name is Toby. And sometimes I'll look at Toby and I'll just watch him and I'll see the joy in his eyes and the love in his eyes and the compassion and the way he loves us and kisses us and the way he receives love. And I'm telling you, I don't see God in the dog. That would be pantheism, okay? But I see God's fingerprint as I look at my dog and I say, wow, God, thank you for making this wonderful dog. Now, I can't say that about my other dog because, you know, when I look at him, I feel like, man, there's evidence that the devil exists. No, I do love him. He's got some good things, but it's mostly my other dog that I really enjoy looking at. But you could look at an animal. You could look at the sky, a painting. If you have eyes to see, you can literally sense God all day long if you pay attention. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, we may ignore but nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. In other words, he's hiding a little bit, but you don't have to look very far to see him. Look for God everywhere if you want to walk closer with God this year. Number five, cut the distractions. We live in such a chaotic world and everything is pulling for our attention, whether it's on our phones or YouTube or whatever, or billboards. Our attention span is being pulled. Our attention is being pulled in multiple directions constantly. And if we don't cut the distractions out of our life, it's going to be very difficult to walk closer with God. We have to act like Mary instead of Martha, if you know the story in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is walking through town on his way to Jerusalem with his disciples, and Mary and Martha invite him into their house. And it's interesting, the two women have two totally different responses to the presence of Jesus. Mary sits down at Jesus' feet, and Martha starts cooking a meal. Listen to how it's described in Luke chapter 10. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet. Jesus walks into the house and boom, her attention is on the Savior and what he has to say. Listening to what he taught. We just talked about carving out time to listen. But Martha, on the other hand, she was distracted. This word means to be pulled apart in different directions by the big dinner that she was preparing. Sometimes we get distracted by good things. It's not a bad thing to cook dinner for Jesus. That's a great thing. It's not a bad thing to serve Jesus. It's not a bad thing to spend time with your family, with your kids on a baseball diamond playing softball. It's not a bad thing to do some of the things that we do. But we can allow them, if we're not careful, to distract us from the primary thing God has called us to. Jesus says to Martha, your sister Mary has discovered the most important thing, and there's only one thing you need to be concerned about. And Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. You know what's distracting you. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a hobby you've gotten too focused on. But it's pulling your attention away from God. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a relationship. And you have to cut that out of your life if you want to walk closer to God in 2023. Cut out the distractions. Let me give you this last one. You want to walk closer to God in 2023? You've got to get around godly people. You've got to get around godly people. Here's the truth about you and me. We all have a social context. We all have a group of friends. Those friends are either making or breaking us. Here's what's true about friendship. And this is just, it's true for everyone. Eventually, over time, you will develop and cultivate the same thought patterns and habits and behaviors and rituals that your closest friends have. Jim Rome said it like this: you are the average over time of the five closest people to you. It's just true. It's true for you. It's true for me. And that's why the Apostle Paul gives Timothy, his young protege, this counsel in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue. Go after. That's what that word means. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Those. Timothy, I want you to pursue godly people. Go after them. Pursue them. Make them your friends. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a friend to anyone who fears God, anyone who obeys your commandments. Those are the people that I'm going to surround myself with. Why? Because my friends, your friends, the people closest to you are making or breaking you. They're either drawing you closer to God or they're pushing you or pulling you away from God. I've made this decision in my life many, many times to say, you know what? I'm going to get with this person. I'm going to get with that person because they are pursuing God and I want to be close to God. And the people in my life need to be pulling me closer to God. Will you make that decision in your life? What have I said today? Well, I've kind of put this thought out there to you that the best life out there is a life lived close to God. It's good for me to be near God. Like, when can I come and stand before God? Like, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, Jesus says, will be added unto you. So the question I want to leave you with today is a simple one. Will you make God your word for the year? And really what I'm saying is, will you make God the focus of 2023? Will you say to yourself, you know what? The best life out there is a life lived near God? Will you recognize that the people on this planet that are happiest, healthiest, most peaceful, most satisfied, are not living in luxury and famous and have everything and look beautiful and y'all, it's not those folks. It's the folks that are just simply close to God. Will you recognize that? And will you make God the focus of 2023? What would happen if you did that? You just might find the secret to life. You just might find everything your heart's ever longed for. You just might find the treasure hidden in a field, as Jesus said it. And what might happen if we all did that collectively as a church, starting with me and you and every single one of us, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people, all focused on God? What could happen in our community? What could happen in your home? What kind of healing would take place? What kind of bad habits would fall off? What kind of things would be cut away from your life? We could literally change our community if each and every one of us decided to make God our focus for 2023. And that is very, very exciting. Now, some of you may be wondering on that last piece, you know, well, how can I get around some godly people? I don't know. Well, guess what? We have group registration coming up next week, January 8th, 7th and 8th. You can sign up to get in a small group to get around people who are pursuing God. I also want to mention one other thing. We've got a fast that starts on January 9th. We do this every single year. What is a fast, you might say? Okay, a fast is simply denying yourself food for a specific period of time for a spiritual purpose. And we do a 21-day fast each January of the year. And guess what? You could simply use the fast this year to be a catalyst to bring God into the focus of your life, to make him the top priority, to walk closer to him. 21 days starting on January 9th. Now, it's not always just a food fast. It could be a fast on social media. It could be a fast on television. It could be a sugar fast. There are different types of fasts that you can do. But this year, maybe use that fast, denying yourself food for a spiritual purpose. Maybe the purpose this year is to make God the focus of your life, to walk closer to him. Take advantage of that. Now, as we wrap up today, I know there are some of you who are listening today that you're like, man, this all sounds good, but you know, I don't even know God. Like, I'd like to be close to him, but I'm not even like a Christian, and I don't know where to start. And I'm so glad that you've paid attention to this point of the message, because I'm really just talking to you right now. Where would you start? You say, man, I don't know God. I don't know Jesus. I'm not a Christian. Well, here's where you would start. You have to understand, first and foremost, you were created by God to be in a relationship with him. That's the purpose of your life, to know him and to find joy from him, find peace in him. That's why he put you on this planet. He has specific things for you to do and to work out on this planet, but primarily he wants to be in a relationship with you. But that relationship is impossible because we're born into this world with sin. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, broke God's rules and they became sinners and their sin was passed to us. And so here we are, born into the world as sinners, separated from God. But that was not God's plan. His plan was to be in a relationship with you. So what did he do to remedy the problem? He sent his son Jesus. He sent Christ into this world to die on a cross, to pay for your sins. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this, he, that is Jesus, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What does that mean? He canceled the record of sins held against you by dying on the cross. See, the Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. So instead of you dying, instead of me dying, Christ dies on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. And 3 days later, he rises again so that he could wipe away and wash away the barrier between you and God, to remove your sin, to cancel the debt held against you. And he did that because he loved you. He did that because he wanted to be in a relationship with you. That's how you get started. That's how you get in the game. That's how you start to walk with God. And when you place your faith in Jesus and you say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me, rose again. His spirit comes to live in you. He forgives your sin and you become a child of God. If you'd like to make that decision right now as you're watching from your home, just go ahead and close your eyes and bow your head. And I'm going to give you a little prayer. You can take these words, make them your own, and reach out to God right now and ask him to forgive you and ask him to be your savior. Will you pray with me? Just say this to him. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you paid the penalty to cancel the debt held against me. And I believe you did that because you love me, to be in a relationship with me. So I ask you right now to wash away my sin, cancel the debt, be my savior. Forgive me. I trust in you. I believe in you. And from this day forward, help me to walk closely with you, to feel you, to sense you, to hear you, to listen to you, to make time for you, to please you with my life, to cut out the distractions, to look for you everywhere in this world, and to get around some other people who are pursuing you so that I can walk closely with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you just prayed that prayer, our church right now, all across all of our homes, we want to celebrate right now and say praise God for that. And also, if you prayed that prayer, we would love to put a gift in your hand. We call it our Save Box. And this box is designed to help you kind of get started. There's a Bible in here with a reading plan. I just mentioned that earlier on in my talk. You can go to YouVersion for that, or you can use the one in here. There's a coffee cup in here, and there's also some instructions on how to get connected to a small group and how a baptism and some other things in there. So you could text the word SAVE to 65248 and you can grab one of these just by giving us a little bit more information. We'll send one to you in the mail. One more time, guys, I would just want to give God praise for what he's doing. Amen. Let this year be the year that you make God your focus. May you walk closer to him than you ever have before. Let's pray, and then I'm going to dismiss back to Pastor Matt. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word that it gives us guidance. It gives us wisdom. It helps us to know how to follow you, how to walk with you, how to experience life with you. Lord, this year, may it be our prayer, may it be the theme of our life to say, but as for me, it is good to be near God. May we thirst for you as a deer, a thirsty deer, thirsts for streams of water. May we thirst for you, God. May we seek your kingdom to live with you and dwell with you and trust you to add everything else to our plate. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.